Okay, so here we go. We're talking with Rene Goulet, who's owner of Goulet Septic Pumping and Design, which serves the rural section of eastern Ontario and Canada. Rene found himself in a situation where he needed a different way to handle septage for his business, and he became involved in a really interesting project, which he's going to tell us about. So, Rene, welcome to the Pumper Podcast.
And thank you.
Tell us, what got you started on this reed bed technology, and could you tell us a little bit about what your reed beds do?
Well, whenever we started, we're allowed to spray septage directly on farmland. We were approved by the Ministry of the Environment, but as time goes by, Ministry wants that septage to be treated before we'd be allowed to use it on land. So there's different ways that we kind of investigated. I think the ministry kind of encourages sewage plants to be able to take this septic waste, but ends up around here, there's not too many plants, or there's no plants that's available that will take the septage because they have a hard time treating their own stuff for the city. So we kind of investigated lime stabilization, which we heard. But I saw on the internet, information on the internet, that France was experimenting with reed beds for the last 20 years, and it seemed to be working okay in a few other places. And then I found out that we have an agriculture college about an hour away from me, and there's an engineer there that's been experimenting in Morocco, treating different wastes with the reeds. So I've managed to call him, and at the time he was interested, but there wasn't really a purpose or a reason to start experimenting or doing something in Ontario until I happened to go to a conference in Toronto and met one of the guys that was kind of in charge of finding ways of treatment. And we happened to be talking, and I happened to mention about the engineer, Chris, and he was interested, and luckily we got together on my site and decided to put the reed beds in and try to experiment. So we've been doing that. This is our sixth year now. So we've installed two reed beds and a sand filter bed, which is the same recipe. It's sand and two different types of gravel. And two of the beds, we planted reeds, like the feather ones. They grow in the ditches
around my area. Just anything you could find, right, along the roadside, sort of.
Yeah, along the roadside. So, and the reason for the reeds was to help break down the sludge. Like, we dump our load of sludge right in the reeds, and after a little while, this sludge kind of dries up. The water makes it through sand, through the gravel. Then, we dug a hole, we put a double liner to protect the water table. We have pipes similar to a septic system right on top of the liner, and the gravel's over the pipe. And the pipes, they stick out on each side. So it does two things at the same time. It aerates the bottom to help it dry faster, and it's also used for the draining of the reed bed or the sand bed. It makes it to a tank, and from the tank, the college or University of Guelph, Alfred College and University of Guelph are both together. They install pumps that takes a small sample after it's gone through the reed bed. And the sample that comes through is almost crystal clear. There's little specks that looks a little bit like moss there, but you can see right through the bottle. Then I took a sample from the truck just before we dump in there, and it's not quite the same site. So
tell us how the septage flows through your system. So from the time you pull the truck up to the system or back it in, you know, what happens?
Yeah, we dump through a bar screen to pick up the bigger parts of the garbage, like plastics and stuff like that. Then it just flows. We've been experimenting with three different bar screens right now. We've built a tank that looks a little bit like a submarine. We tried that, and that didn't work. The screen plugged up, and we were reversing the pressure off the truck, and it just bent the screen in two and kind of dangerous, so got away from that. And right now we're using a trailer. It looks a little bit like the back end of a pickup box, only a bit higher. And we put the bar screen right in the back. They're similar like to a tailgate. So it just flows. We blow it in the trailer, and it flows through. We use a fork just to scrape the garbage out of the screen. That works pretty good. It's a little bit man-like labor-wise, but Then over another one of the reed beds, we just have a tank with a bar screen and a 6-inch pipe coming out. That works good too, but then we're left with sand and gravel and stuff like that in the bottom of the tank, which we have to tip over once in a while. So we have to work on that, try to make that a little bit better of a bar screen. We're trying to do things that build things or do things as cheaply as we can, because we're just a small pumper, and there's a lot of small pumpers in the area. We're looking for the cheaper way of treating, because hauling to the city, if they ever get equipped to take septage, it costs money. So we're trying to find ways, cheaper ways of treating. So once the sludge makes it into the reed beds, the sludge stays on top of the sand, breaks down slowly. The roots of the reeds grows into this sludge. And as the wind moves, it kind of moves the reeds and kind of makes that little hole in the sludge around the stalk. So it gives it air to the roots. It also gives a space for water to go down, a better chance of water going, making it through the sludge. So it makes it through sludge, makes it through the sand. There's two types of gravel. There's a 3/4 to 1 inch clear gravel, which filtrates through. Then the bottom part, the gravel right over the pipes, it's 1.5 inches, and also clear gravel there. Then the water makes it through the pipe, falls into the tank. A sample is taken from a small pump. Then there's a big pump there that takes the water from there, or the effluent, and puts it into a lined lagoon. Then in the summer or in the spring, whenever the ground dries up, we planted the farm in hybrid poplar trees, and we have a pipeline, about 7,000 feet of pipe with big guns. We have 3 big guns, and we just irrigate it through the trees. And we went with hybrid poplar because they're one of the trees that picks up the most micronutrients. It sucks up the water real fast. So we can put a little bit more water to it because it sucks up so much. Probably if we would have gone with willow would suck up a lot more. Well, I don't know if it's a lot more, but it would suck up some more. But the type of willow that we have, what do you do with the tree after? Because it's almost like garbage wood. It's not good for too much around here.
But the poplar you can sell then.
Yeah, that's it. We used to have Dom Tar, a paper mill up the road. Now it's closed, but it was there when we planted the trees. Now we have a possibility of a pellet company building not too far from here. So maybe whenever it's time to cut the trees down, maybe it'll go there. We don't know, but we still have probably another 10 years before we have to find a market for those trees.
So you said that the water coming out of the system is crystal clear. So what does what do the test results look like for BOD in suspended solids? I take it there's no trouble with the ministry with your system.
Not at all. We're removing 95% to 98% of the pollutants right out of that sludge. So they're very satisfied. It's amazing, and that's just going through a small sand bed or a reed bed. It's unbelievable how good it works, and it's the other good part. We can leave that sludge there. They figured originally it would be good for 7 to 10 years without emptying the reed bed, but now the sand bed is almost full. We have over 3 feet of heavy sludge, and I want to build more reed beds, but the next ones we're going to make them deeper. We're going to go hopefully to have 6 feet of possible sludge holding there. And the thing that we've noticed, as the sludge accumulates, the sludge becomes a part of the filter. So you dump sludge on top, well, the water has to make it through this thickness of sludge before making it to the sand. So as the sludge accumulates, our water is even a little bit cleaner now than it was right at the beginning whenever we're dumping on the sand. So
how do you dump? I mean, do you try to equalize the load among reed beds, and is there anything that you really have to watch out for when you're dumping into a bed?
Yeah, you can't dump directly in the bed because you'll end up making a hole through the sand or through the sludge. You don't want to disturb the sand. You want to keep that straight. So it has to be kind of dumped in a way. Either you dumped on the edge of the bank and let it flow slowly, We dump through a tank there, and we have a 6-inch pipe. And right now, the sludge has kind of accumulated real thick, so the pipe is just on top of the sludge. But as before, you accumulate too much sludge. We tried different things, but the thing we found worked the best. We had a plastic cover about 2.5 feet in diameter, and we just used a rubber tube off a tractor tire, the back end of a tractor tire. We just put that cover in the middle of the rubber tube, tied it to it. So as we're dumping in that cover, which is holy, we drill holes in the cover, and as the water or the sludge comes up in the bed, the tube just brings the cover up. And then whenever we're not dumping there, well, the water goes down, so the cover just goes back down. So we found that was a real easy, cheap way of distributing the sewage through the reed bed. Right now, the reed beds are kind of small, what we have. We've been dumping everything in the one corner, and it spreads out by itself. It goes through the stalks and the roots there. And I can't say that where we're dumping is any higher or any more accumulated sludge there than the opposite corner. It's distributing itself pretty good on its own.
And how much, what kind of capacity are you talking about in this system? How much are you dumping in there a year?
Yeah, right now the reed beds are 50 feet by 50 feet, very small because it was experimental. And the engineer just finalizing his report now. We're averaging, we've been putting two loads, like averaging two full loads a week in the 50-50. It doesn't sound like a lot. Now, the recommendations, I think, are going to be, as a safety part, he's going to say one load per week will be the recommendation. But that's throughout the year. That includes the winter. But we've been putting quite a few times, we've put 4 or 5 loads in the same day, and it takes it. It doesn't change. The thing that we've noticed, there's one day we've put 12 loads. There was a mistake between myself and my man there. I had told him, put 12 loads in between the three beds, and he dumped it all in one. So we accumulated about 3.5 feet of sewage or water over top of the sand. So we had a hydraulic problem. The water was so heavy, it pushed through the sand a lot sooner than what it should have. So it came out at the other end. We had, black water. So it kind of scared us. We started thinking that, geez, maybe we're going to block the system and we'll be in deep doo-doo. Nope. It took a few days. It cleared up, and it went back to normal. So we know that you can really abuse those systems. If you overdo one day, it doesn't change. You might have a little bit of black water that you might need a further treatment depending on what you're using with that water after it comes out of there. But in our case, it went in the lagoon, so whatever was left in the water sank, and it didn't change much in our case there. So we know we can abuse. And we also use it during the winter, the same thing as during the summer. We dump it on there, it freezes. But freezing can be a part of the treatment. And after the first year, after we accumulated 5 or 6 inches of sludge, the water never stops flowing out. So it's flowed all winter. It goes right through down to the gravel. It melts from under. So that's another part. Freezing and thawing can become a part of the treatment. It separates the sludge from the water. So we're very satisfied. Seems to be doing a really good job.
How hard was it to get this whole system up and running?
I was lucky to be at the right place at the right time whenever I met a person from the ministry, and they were interested in trying to find ways of treating for Ontario. I think he was looking for a way, but at the time I got the impression that they were probably only looking at lime stabilization for Ontario would solve all the problems, because it does kill the bacteria, probably 98-99%, then you're allowed to spread it on land. But I'm on a limestone farm, so I can't use a lot of lime. I'm already fairly high in lime. And he was very surprised whenever he got here and I showed him the soil test. I can't use lime, so I couldn't use lime stabilization. I would have needed, 100 times more land to do the same job. So that's whenever I think he realized that we need other ways of treating. So right now I know they've They've experimented with peroxide, and I think that's out because it's too expensive and too corrosive. It's dangerous. They've been experimenting with three lagoons, like one into the other. I haven't heard results on that yet. Lime stabilization, it looks like that'll be in. They've approved me to put another four bigger reed beds, so I presume reed bed treatment will be in. And there's also the geotube, which looks really good right now. I think it's in also. But that I know of, nothing has really been approved yet, but it looks like there's three, the geotube, the treatment, the lime treatment, and the reed bed. I think those three will be accepted.
Now, you're on a farm, which not necessarily all rural pumpers are going to have. How much land area do your reed beds take up? Or put it another way, how much area will your new system cover?
Yeah, probably the reed bed, like what we're going to expand to. Like we're a small pumper. We pump about 1.3 million gallons right now a year. We also have to think you have to treat the rainwater. Like the rain has to go through, so you got to figure that into the size that you need. We can probably do everything with 2 acres of land for like lagoon storage and reed bed, two and a half acres. Then we have 45 acres of tree plantation that we use to irrigate. But I don't think you need that much, because originally I planted all the trees on the land that was approved to spray septage, which were only allowed at the time 15 liters per square meter per week. So that's not a lot. So that's why we needed all that land. But now that the water, it's almost pure water coming out, I haven't approached the ministry to change my irrigation amount per week there, but I'm sure now that we could apply and have that change, and it would probably go by the type of soil that you have, similar to a septic system. Like we have stony ground here. See, we're in hills and we have low areas. The low areas is clay, and the hills it's glacial till, which is stony ground, doesn't drain that well. So probably they would accept the minimum would probably be 4 to 6 liters per square meter, but per day. At least that's what we're hoping in the near future of changing that. So I'll be able to reduce the area that we're irrigating right now. Like we have the pipes, we can do it now, but if I ever wanted to make it a smaller area, I could probably shrink it by a lot.
Was it very expensive? Well, this was a pilot project, but the new beds you're putting in, is this a really expensive installation for you?
Yeah, it's we have a triple liner. Because we have so many stones here, and I didn't want to take a chance putting sand under the rubber liner, I put a felt liner. Then there's the HDPE liner. Then we put the college decided they didn't want to bury the edges. Like my lagoon, I put a liner, an HDPE liner, and I buried the edges so that the sun wouldn't hit it and cook it, because it ends up cracking after a few years. And where I bought the liner from, they told me if it's in the sun, guarantee only for 10 years. If it's buried, 50 years. So I buried it. But the college didn't want weeds to grow on the edges, so they put another... like a geotextile to protect the liner that's there. But the liner that's in the reed bed is a PVC, and the edges, the top edges, are already starting to crack because the geotextile kind of moved down a little bit, a few areas there, and so the sun has been hitting it, and this is only like our 6 year that it's there, and it's starting to crack. So the neck reed bed we're going to put in, we're thinking we're going to bury the edges to try to protect it as much as we can from the sun. Then you have a foot of 1.5 inch gravel, clear gravel in the bottom, then another foot, roughly a foot on a 3/4 inch on top of that, then about 10 inches of cement sand. So it's expensive enough to put in because of the material, depending on where you are there. Like if you have a lot of sand here, we have to go a little bit further away to get sand because we don't have sand pits real close. Gravel, we have a quarry down the road, that's not too bad. The liners, depending on the type of liner, like we have a 30 mil liner thickness, and then you need monitoring wells. We needed monitoring wells around to make sure if there's ever a problem with the liner, something happens, that we can monitor the water, not to contaminate the water table. So it's expensive, but it's a little bit expensive to put in, but after that, there's no expense to run it. We're good for 7 to 10 years without emptying it out, and so our hydro bill, like we have the monitoring pumps there that takes a little sample, and we have 3 2-horsepower pumps, which we didn't need right from the start. Half a horsepower would be plenty. Our hydro bills right now are running about $63 a month average, and we've also been monitoring the temperature in the gravel, in the sand. The university and the college engineer and put in some sensors that monitor the temperature of the air, how much rain we got, how much snow we got, so that you'd be able to figure out exactly what's happening in the bed. So,
and you mentioned to me when we were doing the interview for the magazine that had you thought about it a little more, you could have made the whole system gravity flow, I think, right?
Yes, we're lucky to have a hill where the lagoon is now. The original plan was to put the two lagoons on top of the hill, and as we're going down the hill, have 3 reed beds. Then once it went through the reed bed, the water would just make it down a little creek. But about 15 years ago, whenever I tried this, I went to the Ministry of the Environment, and they came back real fast in my face, because the only way they would allow that would be I'd have to monitor, test the water every day. And I'm just a little guy. I can't afford lab fees every day. So then we've kind of changed. We just put the one lagoon on top of the hill. But now instead of having the reed beds after the lagoon to clean up the rest of the water or the effluent coming out, we've been using the reed beds in front of the lagoon to stop putting sludge in the lagoon. Because I have a liner in the lagoon, how am I going to clean a lagoon out once it's full of sludge? I can't go in there with a shovel or a bulldozer. So I've been trying to find a way of holding that sludge back and just using the lagoon as a hold site for the water until we irrigate over the trees. Now, there is some sludge in the lagoon now, but I'm hoping of being able to put more reed beds in this year that it'll end up, I won't be adding to that sludge. And with time, that sludge will break down some, and it can stay in the bottom. Like, it just sinks right down to the bottom. So I'm hoping that I won't have to empty the sludge out of that lagoon, because about the only way you can get it out of there is suck it back out, and yeah, that'll take time.
You've put in, obviously, a lot of time and a lot of years on this system. Do you see this as a viable, good solution for other pumpers in the same place that you are, in the same
yes.
situation you are?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a cheaper version. If you can't use lime stabilization, if you can use lime stabilization, that's probably the cheapest way to go. You're going to need a fair size amount of land, because there's a limit. It's a chemical lime, so there's a limit in what you can put. I think that'll be the cheapest way. The second way, I'm not sure if the reed beds or the geotube will be the cheapest. They're probably real close. In my case, the geotube, well, once the tube is full, you cut it and you empty it. So you can't reuse that bag. That bag is done. So you have an investment of buying a geotube. And you also need flocculant that is mixed with the sludge or the sewage in the geotube that makes it separate. So the water comes out of the tube, and the solid stays in the tube. It's another, to me, it's another chemical. Whether it's aluminum, aluminum sulfide or iron sulfide, we're still adding that to the soil, which I'm trying to stay away from. So for little guy that has a bit of land, I think the reed bed is the best one to go. You spend a little bit of money up front, but your expense of running it after is very, very cheap. At least that's the way I see it right now.
Okay, so let me just read the ender, because that's the end of my questions. You can read more about Rene's ReedBed project and see photographs of the project in the June 2012 issue of Pumper Magazine. Rene, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome, anytime. And anybody wants to come and see, they're welcome.